I think they like you, Steve.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
It's just like wrong.
Fine.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
The Jeffersons, you let that play out. Steve Cochran Show here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Dave Ennett here. Steve as well. Mary Sandberg, Joe Romano, Mary Vandeveld.
It's Friday.
Pete Zimmerman, it's Friday.
Yeah, fine.
The clouds still rolling in here in a gloomy morning.
Yeah,
here,
enough
in Chicago.
Of this already.
Enough of this is the first, I guess, the first official day, second official day of summer.
This is now where we're getting a sense from the 18th floor of what it looks like when the weather sucks.
And the rain wiped out my spider that was crawling up and down in my window. I was having fun observing him.
There's a lot of spiders.
What is it, a science project?
Oh, I don't know.
It's our version of the raccoon.
Yeah, it's kind of cool that he can be this high up here.
Fair
you
point.
Know?
But
you know,
Spike used to do that. Spike would take a picture of a bug on the outside of the Showcase Studio window, and then he'd have it, so he'd shoot it so it would be like transposed on the Wrigley building. So he had this giant spider.
He'd do this during the show?
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, very creative.
Yeah, you guys stay busy, huh?
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's do the top six right now.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Item number one. There is absolute chaos in allegedly trying to reunite children with their parents. Here's what we think we know. When a non-documented person, an illegal, comes into the country, they get a file number if they're arrested. That file number is also assigned to the child until the child is taken away. Once the child is taken away, they get a different file number. The parent who has been apprehended and put into custody isn't given the file number of the child. So the child then goes in one direction with one file number. The parent goes in another direction with another file number. And it is so far potluck on whether or not you can hook these two up again. Because you have kids at 18 months old, at 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old, 5 years old. It's not a matter of whether they can speak Spanish or not. Obviously, you have translators that are available and people who can speak Spanish at the border. But these are little kids who we can't find the parents of, or parents who we can't connect with the little kids because somebody forgot to have a system.
Yeah.
And that somebody's us.
Well, government is so inefficient. I remember a couple years ago the story about the Cook County Jail where they were still using paper, that they would give the inmate a piece of paper saying, this is your record, carry it to your next destination. And I'm not sure if I don't think they still do that. That was a big thing with Tom Dark. But also, if this were a episode of The Apprentice, in the boardroom, whoever was in charge of the system would be fired.
Yeah, and they should be. Absolutely should be. It's absolutely ridiculous. I said this yesterday. You valet park your car, you get a ticket. You take your clothes to the dry cleaner, you get a ticket. Right. You do a coat check, you get a ticket. Your kid's taken away, you don't get a ticket.
They should
They
should definitely emulate the way that dry cleaners do it. How they don't lose my shirt with all those shirts.
I'm telling you, the system would be much more efficient than the one we have with human lives. It's just ridiculous.
And Steve, I think you're being nice when you say somebody forgot to do this. I mean, I don't think anybody thought this out to even forget it. And also, these little kids, they don't know their addresses. They don't know how to find their parents. I mean, if you ask...
They do know their addresses.
Exactly. I mean...
It's so frustrating. It's just unbelievably frustrating. And regardless of the ridiculous immigration policy we have or don't have, you got to have some shred of humanity. These are children. These are, and in way too many cases, tiny children who have been shipped all over the country. By the way, they're coming to Chicago.
Yeah.
There are kids who are staying here. There are kids that are staying in New York. We don't know how many. They're being spread around cities around the country. They've made provisions now. They're trying to make provisions anyway on military bases to house up to 20,000 kids. Well, here's the other thing that drives me nuts about this. We don't have a system to handle this. We don't want these people, as I've heard so many people call them, these people in the country. So what, we're going to be an orphanage now?
And did you see? Did you see the estimates for how much it costs to care?
Oh, I can't imagine.
For one child per night, almost $800 per child.
I wonder if politically the president could get ahead of this by addressing or acknowledging the primitive state of how they do this and be able to fix it. And if he was the president who stepped up and said, "This is ridiculous. We need to modernize this," it would be a political win.
Got your mic.
The one thing that they've got down, though, is the government contracts awarded to the people that get to house the kids. Those are big,
that's down.
Big business.
That paperwork's done.
Covered.
That's
down. But no care for the humans. I mean,
say a prayer for these kids. Say a prayer for those families. Because the idea that they've got an uncle somewhere in Texas that he can go to is ridiculous. Oh, and there's two facilities in Texas that go well back that are in the middle of lawsuits to be shut down because of the way they treat children, including something called a punishment chair, where if a child was not behaving, they would be tied to the chair, much like a black site and an Al-Qaeda member, where you're trying to get information out of them. This is happening in our country.
Come on, these are little children.
It's just outrageous. I mean, there are no words. All right, next. The European Union is fighting back against U.S. tariffs today, imposing penalties of $3.2 billion on American products to target President Trump's political base. Is there a clear list of what we're going to end up paying more for?
What does that mean, to target President Trump's political base? You mean Republicans?
People that voted for him are going to.
So what does that mean? They're going after what?
Here's what it means. It means that China is going to take, and even Canada, they're going to go after soybeans. So that's targeting the farmers that went for Trump.
Oh, okay.
They're going to target the whiskey and bourbon from Kentucky. Kentucky went for Trump.
Because you must be drinking if you voted for Trump.
They're targeting the areas of the country that have these industries that they perceive as being Trump supporters.
Next up. Cook County jury awarded $2.8 million to a former supervisor for Chicago's now defunct police oversight agency, one Lorenzo Davis, who alleged in a lawsuit against the city he was fired for refusing to change his findings in police shootings he considered unjustified. Okay. The millions and millions we have given away and paid out in legitimate settlements in most cases, obviously they've been adjudicated through the courts. It's pretty crazy.
There's a whole conversation to have about what's next in that story, because police oversight committee, there's two or three different ordinances that are being considered in city council. So that's going to be a big story coming up here in the
Man, the next time the mayor's on, we will bring it up to him.
For sure.
Sitting here. Let's go live now to the United Center, where Dave is standing by as the Bulls draft has just wrapped up in the last 3 minutes. Dave?
Actually, it was the Advocate Center, which is next to the United Center.
Okay. And what did the Bulls get?
The Bulls got Wendell Carter Jr., 6'10", 259-pound big man from Duke University, 19 years old.
Do we like him?
All ACC freshman. good player, solid player. It's not a name that I think you hear and you think, okay, this guy is going to change the franchise, but the Bulls believe that he can have a very positive impact teaming with Lauri Markkanen to give them a nice 1-2 core.
I'll tell you who I wish they got was Chandler Hutchison.
Well, they got Chandler Hutchison, Steve, at number 22 out of Boise State.
You're a big Boise State basketball fan,
Big time. Big time. Season ticket holder for years.
What do you like about Chandler, aside from the name?
I like his versatility. Mm-hmm. He's got hops.
Yeah.
And he's got a fadeaway like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah.
He does.
Yeah.
Okay.
Went to the same school as Shea McClellan. I don't know if you know that.
Yes, he did. Boise State, where they have the blue turf.
Thank you, Joe, for saying that in my head.
Reporting live from the Advocate Center, where it's raining. Dave Bennett, WGN Sports.
If you want to be Lou's first caller, by the way, you can get on the phone right now at 312-981-7200. Roseanne's coming back. Without Roseanne, show's going to be called The Conners. ABC will try it again with everybody but Roseanne. They will go back into shooting as soon as next week.
What are they going to say happened to her?
Well, that's the fun part.
They killed off Dan.
Once. Well, he came back. Yeah.
I don't know. Really long trip.
Personally, and they kind of set it up too with her during the drug thing.
Yeah.
You know, she was taking narcotics.
Personally,
and stuff.
She's the worst part of her own show. When I watch it, and politically aside, I watching the show, she is not a good sitcom actress.
You,
so
most of America didn't agree with you, pal.
No, they like the show, but yeah. I would assume if you went down and said who's your favorite character, Roseanne would not be at the top.
I don't know.
I think that the daughter is great. I think that
I think this
John
is
Goodman's
doing
great.
MASH without Alan Alda.
Maybe it's.
And by the way, I'm
but
not.
She's terrible.
I'm not advocating for Roseanne. She's a knucklehead.
Yeah.
But she had funny lines.
She deserved to be fired.
She had funny lines,
but she delivered them like a stand-up.
Well, right.
And
but
that, that always...
Hey, whoa.
And this...
Sorry.
Quack. Sandberg, I got to ask your opinion on this, because I think we need to have a definitive Trump outrage meter here.
Mm-hmm.
And a Trump outrage meter will read a 4 on things like this, this way we have lost children and can't reunite them with their parents. I'm not outraged by the idiot fashion choice that Melania made yesterday. So describe what it was.
She wore a green military jacket. Those are really popular right now with the I don't really care.
I really don't care.
Yeah, on the back of it.
So. As she visited a child immigration center.
I know. I find it insignificant, though.
Yeah, it's a really bad fashion choice.
Just like when she wore the high heels to Houston, you know, after the flooding, I don't care.
If you don't have a stylist in the White House, it's like, maybe that message doesn't matter, because half of America thinks you don't care. Are you sending a political message with that?
Think about who we're talking about here. I don't think anybody's sending messages.
I think they are sending messages.
You're applying strategy.
But there's six or seven stylists around Melania Trump.
Well, and the president himself said it was a message.
He had a jackass tweet saying that it was something about fake news. It doesn't even make sense.
Put the green shirt. Put the blue shirt on.
I'm certain she did not say to him, I'm going to wear this because I don't like fake
news. Well, probably not, because they're not talking.
Yeah. So I think she was just... She went to go see the kids.
Well, Trump outrage meter, that's a 1, kid. Sorry.
3 for me.
Is it 1 to 5? Would that be the meter?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. And,
major faux pas.
Yeah.
Major.
Yeah. Maybe she didn't know it had writing on the back of it. all right. We got to come back and have Lou join us in just a second. And again, 312. Oh, we got somebody. 312-981-7200 to be Lou's first caller. Next.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers. We won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
Good morning, Mr. Manfredini.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm great.
We're going to jump right in here. Lynn is in Westmont. Let me see if I can get Lynn on the radio here. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning, WGN.
And say hi to Lou. Morning. He's very sensitive.
Oh, Lou.
Yes. Morning.
Well, he started WGN. I see.
It was a blanket high. I got you.
Got it.
Yeah. What's your troubles?
My troubles is my fiberglass shower is starting to crack, and somebody must have dropped something. There's a little divot on the bottom. Mm. What can I use to repair that?
Well, first, I think we need to find out who destroyed the shower. I mean, there's got to be some sort of penalty for that.
It's just a little tiny divot, like maybe a little shampoo cell or something.
Okay. All right.
But there's fine cracks going, like, through the walls. And
fine
stuff.
Cracks, Lou. What are we doing about the fine cracks?
The fine cracks are tough. I mean, the fiberglass, you know, is brittle, and once that gel coat on the top starts to crack, that's problematic. What you can do there is you got to wipe down the fiberglass enclosure really well. There's a great cleaner called Bright and Clean, which is a powder that you'll mix on a wet microfiber towel, and it's great for taking calcium and lime off of glass doors as well as fiberglass enclosures. You get it nice and clean. Then you'll take some latex clear acrylic caulking. And you'll take a little bit of a bead. You can buy a small one that's like a cake decorating tube and place it in the cracks and then use your finger to make it nice and smooth to force some of that caulking into those cracks. And that will help to keep water from penetrating and getting behind there. You're going to let that dry 24 hours. Now, for the divot, that's a little bit more problematic. You're actually going to use like a fiberglass patching that they would use on the side of a boat. And you're going to rough up that little surface where the divot is, and you'll put this little patch over the top of that. And then, depending on the color of the enclosure, if it's white, you can get a little porcelain touch-up kit after you sand it and smooth it out and touch it up like you're almost doing nail polish.
Okay. Does that all help you?
Wow.
Make sense, Sarah?
That was awesome.
fiberglass caulking and Bright and
acrylic,
Green.
Bright and Clean, acrylic, latex, caulking, and clear. And then fiberglass patch.
And replace your divots.
And always replace your divots.
Yes. All right.
And maybe replace the person who made the divot.
And Lynn, you get an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat. Allows you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone from American Weathermakers. The 60-Minute Men, 855-955-HVAC. Hold on for us. Let's see here. Before Sandberg asks a question, we're getting some interesting questions from people. Lou, where do babies come from?
Mm. There's a when a mommy and a daddy love each other
very much.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything we could pick up at Ace to answer that question?
I don't think you got that. I don't know what aisle that would be in.
No.
Sandberg, what's your
microfiber towels?
A plunger, maybe?
A plunger.
Hey, Lou, I pulled up some laminate flooring in the unfinished portions of our basement.
Nice.
And I want to know if cleaning the cement and then painting it really is a do-it-yourself job, or if I should just get someone to do it.
I mean, if there's not a lot of glue down there, mm-hmm. Then yeah, you can clean that. You can scrape it and clean it, and then prep it. And there are some products out there that you can actually stain the concrete and it look kind of give it a marble effect, which is nice. I will tell you that it's cool and it can be damp. If you're going to do anything, there's a great product called Bone Dry Concrete Sealer that once you clean it, I would put that down. It'll strengthen the concrete and then it'll keep the moisture from permeating up. Even, you know, like now it's just so humid. Then you can put something over the top of that and you'll get better results and a more even coloration when you put the stuff down.
Okay. And I could do that myself?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is happening in our Cubs bathroom as well. So thanks, Mayor.
You're going to...
Same thing. I'm not doing it myself, no. It's too wet. It's, yuck.
The basement?
Yeah, it's a basement bathroom, our Cubs bathroom.
Try this if it's exposed concrete.
What's your Cubs? You got Cubs in your bathroom?
No, it's a Cubs theme.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like the whole bathroom? Like
is
a toilet
bathroom.
Seat a Cubs theme?
No, not
is there like a mini bat for the flush handle?
It's a bidet.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
It's a bidet down there.
Oh, nice. Mm.
Yeah. Whose face is in the toilet? Is it a White Sox player?
Cardinals.
So we
Cardinals,
yeah. After we clean, what do we clean it with?
If it's non-glue, if it's a larger area, what I would do is I'd rent a floor scrubber from a rental house, you know, a big floor scrubber like you see at the Jewel at night, the guy's mm-hmm. doing the floor, mm-hmm. and just use something like CLR and water, 50-50 mix, scrub it, it'll neutralize any greases or, you know, oils that are there, then rinse it, you have to mop it, you know, to get that up, and then once that dries, you apply this sealer, this bone dry product, and then you can put whatever kind of finish you want. Rust-Oleum makes a product called Rock Solid, which is a concrete stain. It's really kind of cool. It's a two-part system, but it kind of marbles the floor out, and it looks really neat.
Is that their slogan? It looks really neat?
No, I threw that in there.
Last one, 217. Can I use the same process Lou just described to fix a hole in the bathtub surround? Rather than cracks in a divot, will it leak? Upstairs shower, don't want to leak.
Yeah.
Why not the thing that the guy cuts the boat in half and he tapes the boat together?
The leak seal?
Yeah.
I'm actually, I'm going out to San Diego next week to do a couple of TV things for Ace, and they want me to do something like that. Like, if we got you a boat, could you tape it together? Yeah, but I'm not going in the boat.
Yeah, exactly. Going in the boat going, woo!
Yeah, no thanks.
All right, fix their bathtub.
Yeah, you could do it.
So the same process.
Yeah, same process. I mean, the thing with, remember, a fiberglass fix for a boat, it's designed to keep the water out. You do have to follow the directions. It's not going to look perfect, but it'll keep the water out.
All right, and you're on the radio tomorrow, aren't you?
I am.
It's been first time in the new studio?
I have never done a show from the studios yet.
Okay, we'll make sure
based on everything I'm hearing this week, sounds pretty cool.
So you press all the right buttons and stuff.
I hope so.
And
Can you label them for me?
Yeah, this
one. I like words instead of just like the numbers. Like, this is the mic.
Yeah, this one, not that one.
Right.
That one, not this one.
Yeah, aren't there more buttons always than you actually need?
Oh, yeah. It's like cable TV. Yeah, you watch like five channels, you use four buttons.
The button that says, don't press this.
Right.
Right. Oh, that one makes me crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy.
By the way, Lou, we're out of time, but one texter wanted me to discuss email with you. I don't know what that is.
I don't know. We're out of time. I'm sending some emails right now. Goodbye.
It is 6:36, and let's see. We got to come back and get your headlines in just a moment on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Doctor, 6:45, Dr. Sam, coming up in a second. You got a critter with a question?
Today is Take Your Dog to Work Day.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, this is perfect then. Well, where's Ozzy?
We knew that.
That's
why we put this all together.
Is that right? It
wasn't just an accident.
He just texted me.
Ozzy texted
a selfie, and he said, why didn't you take me to work?
Yeah.
What did you just
I showed
forget?
It to Justin. He said,
yep. Yesterday was National Selfie Day. Today is National Take Your Dog to Work Day. So Ozzy killed two birds.
Yes, yes, he did.
Is that what he said? He's killing birds?
He's killing birds he's also, yes.
Technically, and he's killing birds.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get to Dr. Sam here in just a second. And here's what else is coming up on this show today. In the 7 o'clock hour, at 7:20, we're going to give away more Blackhawks passes as we update you. We're making some progress. I'll tell you more about it at 7:20 on getting Sandberg in the truck.
All right. Yes.
Yeah. We also
I need a ride home, so that's good.
Yeah, you're going. You're going in the bed, I'm being told.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Miles and I can get in the bed.
And you're
that came across wrong.
And your son, Miles, yes, is here today.
It is, because it's in Chicago, it's known as take your kid to work, because camps don't start till Monday, and school ended inexplicably on Tuesday.
Have we worked out the camp problem you're having?
Yeah, I have a phone call today. I saw the camp director at open house.
How are you feeling? Are you optimistic?
Yeah, I'm optimistic. He kind of said, hey, give me a call at the office. So I was like, well, okay, maybe there's something there.
Sounds positive.
Yeah, it's positive.
Dateline NBC is doing an hour-long special on the mess at the border, and Jacob Soboroff from NBC will join us after 7. Danielle Pinnock, after 8, actress from This Is Us and?
And she's in Young Sheldon. She's the math teacher in Young Sheldon. She is also a Chicago actress who's had a lot of great success here. So
you know her?
I don't know her, but reading her stuff, she has done a lot of stuff. Rivendell, other places in Chicago.
Did I say Pinnock? It's Pinnock, right? I said Pinnock.
Yeah, Pinnock. Pinnock.
Steve Stone will be on later talking about this week in White Sox. And the other super famous Steve Dale, will be on after 9:30. He's got some pet thing to discuss with us, too. And frankly, I don't know what it is. And this is Pride Week. Parade is Sunday at what time?
I think kickoff's at noon. I think that's usually when it rolls. Rick Garcia coming in. Rick Garcia, longtime political activist and analyst who we can talk a little LGBTQ politics today.
All right. So that's all coming up. Stand by. Dr. Sam and your pet questions, 312-981-7200. You can text those or you can call 312-981-7200. What's wrong with your critter? What question do you have? Oh, I always wanted to ask this about my dog or my cat or my ferret or my goldfish.
We got a mission accomplished at our house. My wife figured out a cat allergy, food allergy.
Whoa,
changed the food.
What is she, some kind of wizard?
Isn't that crazy? I mean, the cat was like scratching his neck and then their little clumps of hair, and she figured it out that it was something in the food. And so she changed the food and it fixed it. Isn't that crazy?
It is not crazy. You know, Justin, you say that. My dog, Murrow, I have a Labrador Retriever, he started having seizures earlier this year.
Gosh.
And he's only 9 years old. And we found out it was a food thing.
Yeah.
And changed the food, and he takes a vitamin every day, and he's fine.
All right, so we're going to talk to Dr. Sam about whether or not you even need to go to vet school based on Steve and your wife.
I can't believe it.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
I love my dog. He's my dog. If you don't love my dog, that's okay. I don't want you to.
Well, one of my great friends in life is a genius to doing hanging out with me. Dr. Sam Ristich, Indian Prairie Animal Clinic. Just over the Naperville line in Aurora, off Route 59 and in 83rd. And what's the road your clinic's on?
That would be Frontenac Street.
Yeah, 83rd and Frontenac in Aurora, in a fabulous facility and a great boarding kennel in the back where he occasionally lets me stay.
Mm-hmm. Weekends.
Yeah, which is nice for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Luxury.
So we got a bunch of texters asking questions already. 269, Dr. Sam, where do puppies come from?
Ooh, give that to Manfredini or whatever his name is at 8 o'clock.
The amazing Manfredini. Let's see. Oh, here's another Weisenheimer. Can I ask about my imaginary cat, Muffin? Let me tell you something, people. This is a very serious segment. Very serious.
6:40 a.m.
Yeah, exactly. 262, I have a 15-year-old cat with a recurrence of fibrosarcoma on her paw just above the pad. Besides having it removed, are there other recommended treatments for a cat that age?
I would consult with a veterinary oncologist. We're blessed in the Chicagoland area to have several, even down to the vet school down in Champaign or even up in Madison, Wisconsin. But I would imagine they could help her a little bit better. Probably radiation therapy. Unusual place for fibrosarcoma.
Where do you normally get a fibrosarcoma?
Usually up in the shoulder area. Or there was fibrosarcomas that were related to some vaccines. But the incidence, we don't see it. And we don't think it's a direct cause from the vaccine. We believe that those cats are just predisposed to it, and the vaccine probably just aggravates it.
630, why did dogs eat grass? Upset tummy? Will probiotics help?
Two reasons they eat it. They are not getting enough fiber in their diet, so you may want to look on the bag of food and see how much fiber and consult with your veterinarian, make sure it's adequate for that stage of life. And two, they're smart. They know that if they eat grass, they're going to vomit and they're going to feel better.
Hmm. They're strategizing that way, or it just happens to work out that way?
Some of them might strategize like that way. In fact, one of the coolest things I saw in the Serengeti was a male lion that was just roaring and belly aching and the whole bed. And went up to a big mound of grass, ate it for about 15 minutes, started vomiting, and then he walked away.
That's like me and Doritos.
It's like Dave and Hooch.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not.
Dave, you have a question about Ozzy.
I do. So, Dr. Sam, my dog got skunked, I think, 9 days ago now. We washed him at the time with a mixture that you're supposed to use when a dog gets skunked, and then shampooed him. And then a couple of days
ago, the dry cleaner.
Still, yeah, thought about it. A couple of days ago, still had a scent, so we took him in to the groomer and had him skunk washed, the professional skunk washing, and I still can detect a slight scent of skunk on him. Is this ever going away, or is he permanently damaged?
Permanently damaged. Next question, please.
No,
it will be a matter of probably days, couple weeks. If you go to our website, there is...
What website would that be, Dr. Sam?
I have no idea. www.ipavet.com, I believe.
Yes, all right.
Four or five W's there. But there is a formula. Actually, it was a scientist at Molex in Lyle that came up with it, and it works pretty well. You know, and the old standby was tomato juice. And the only reason tomato juice seemed to help is a condition known as olfactory fatigue. Our nose gets tired of smelling the tomato juice, and we forget about the skunk smell.
Oh, okay.
So maybe have a little bit of a tomato juice bath there.
Several.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Your website, and this is why you can never remember it, because you got to get a simpler address. Samber, give it to me again. IPAHVET.com. Yeah, IPAVET.com. Indian Prairie Animal Hospital Vet.com.
I was close.
What's the number at the office?
630-820-6999.
Very good. That was impressive. 708, in the past year, we bought a puppy from Petland. We found out the puppy's sick. Then we watched the news, and it looked like this place may be being investigated. What are we supposed to do as consumers?
Well, you know, not all pet stores have unhealthy pets. I would look at the guarantee. I would try not to buy from a pet store. I just think there's so many wonderful rescue dogs out there. I would probably go that route.
All right. And a celebrity caller, Dr. Laura Caldwell. I just made her a doctor.
Oh.
She's an attorney. She's an author. She's fabulous is what she is. And she's got a pooch with a problem. What's the problem with your pooch?
Well, Schaefer, my 6-year-old mini golden doodle, was diagnosed after a long, drawn-out diagnosis process with Lyme disease. That was from a tick that we think she got in Germany. And we've treated it twice with antibiotics, and she's kind of come back to life, but she's still got the weakness in the legs. She's still lethargic, and everyone tells me that's just what Lyme disease, it'll kind of stick around. And I wondered if that was accurate and if there's anything to be done, particularly with dogs.
Unfortunately, Lyme's disease is all too common, and the biggest concern is when it's affecting the kidneys. I guess, you know, with the lameness there, I would want to rule out other things. Maybe there's another tick-borne disease. If it got bit by a tick carrying Lyme, it might have been carrying something else. So I would take really good x-rays and just make sure there's nothing other than Lyme arthritis going on. Usually with the arthritic change, you can, you know, treat it with non-steroidals, and there's a lot of nutraceuticals, and, you know, there's even alternative therapies, acupuncture, laser therapy. There's a lot you can do.
And do we treat dogs for depression at all? Somebody threw out to me, she seems really depressed. She used to run like 15 miles a week. Should you give her something for depression? I don't know.
Jack Daniels.
Well, I'm not sure I would jump on the depression diagnosis right away. I would want to rule out other reasons for the lethargy.
But dogs can get depressed, can't they, Duck?
Yeah, dogs, I'm not sure they get necessarily depressed, other than with just general malaise of illness. But the dogs do suffer from anxiety. We have a lot of dogs on fluoxetine or Prozac because of separation anxiety.
All right, so go hardcore on the Lyme disease, and we'll call you in the morning.
Thanks.
All right, that's Laura Caldwell. All right, do you have an awkward item for me?
Do I have an awkward item for you?
You know, normally at the end of this segment, you always have something that makes me uncomfortable.
Oh, boy, let me think. Well, you know, I'm a little concerned about this weather because of the rain, and then we're going to get hot weather coming up. Mm-hmm. The bugs. I think you should worry more about the bugs than you do the North Koreans, because the ticks are going crazy. And, you know, Laura just talked about her dog with Lyme's disease. This Lone Star tick now has been associated with meat allergy in people. Mm. So when you thought you had food poisoning, you might have been bit by a tick. There's an interesting thing you can do in your backyard. Go ahead and get a piece of flat cardboard, put some double-sided tape on the perimeter, and go get a block of dry ice and leave it out there for like 24, 48 hours. The ticks will be drawn to the carbon dioxide given off by that dry ice.
Really?
So you can, you know, see in your own backyard, because I would have to say the majority of the dogs that we diagnose here in our practice that have Lyme's disease, you know, they're not going to Wisconsin, they're not going to Germany like Laura's dog, they're in their backyard. So, you know, if one thing's evolved over my career as a veterinarian is infectious disease. You know, some of the stuff we worry about now, we didn't worry about back in the 70s or 80s. Mm-hmm. And so if I were you, I'd be worried about the bugs.
That wasn't even remotely awkward. That was actually helpful.
That was very helpful.
Dr. Sam, Illinois Prairie Animal Hospital vet, IPAH.
Indian Prairie, not
Illinois.
What did
I say, Illinois?
Illinois.
Well, they both start with I. Indian mm-hmm. Prairie Animal Hospital Vet.com. IPAHVET.com. Thanks, buddy.
Stay dry, my friend.
Well, we'll see. We're coming back in just a moment on 720 WGN. Consider how blessed you are as you get up this morning. You know where your kids are. And we're all blessed. Meanwhile, at the border, it is apparently a much bigger mess than we thought. Dateline NBC is going to air a special hour on Jacob Soboroff's in-depth reporting at the border crisis. And Jacob joins us now. I understand you traveled 2,000 miles, in other words, the entire length of the border.
Yeah, we sure did. Good morning to you guys.
Hi.
You know, it's an extraordinary thing what played out over the last 6 days, and we just so happened to be down there in South Texas. And you know, I went into both of these shelters that we've all now been very familiar with the photos that came out of, the one in Brownsville where you had the 1,400 kids, you know, living inside a former Walmart for 22 hours a day, only 2 hours a day outside. And then this Border Patrol processing station in McAllen, Texas, where, you know, I witnessed with my own eyes little kids sitting in cages that have been taken away from their parents. And it really makes us question what our country is all about, that this is happening. It doesn't matter what political party you are in as a human being and as a father. You know, as a journalist, I'm not supposed to have a visceral reaction to something like this. But it was one of the most extraordinary, in a horrific way, things I've ever seen.
I can't imagine.
I'm grateful to have had the opportunity to be a part of this Dateline project for the last several months, to have a deeper understanding, frankly, of why we got to this point, why things are the way they are along the border, and where we go from here.
Dividing Line airs Sunday at 6 o'clock Chicago time. On NBC 5 here in Chicago, wherever you are around the country, 7 o'clock East, 6 o'clock Central. The thing that's just stunning to me is if you can get a ticket when you check your coat, how come we don't have a way to match up parents and kids now?
2,500 kids separated. 2,000 of them reportedly this morning are still without their parents. And we don't know if all of them will be reunited with their parents, according to former officials in ICE and other places that tell us that there just is no process in place in order to put these kids back together. And furthermore, some of these parents, for all we know, may have already been deported. And if you're a poor Central American in Honduras or Guatemala or El Salvador and don't have the money to hire an attorney to go track your child down in the United States, what do you do? You know, you could have permanent immigrant orphans here in the U.S. as a result of a political policy that was on the books for less than 2 months.
Yeah.
It truly is heartbreaking. And we need to remember that it's just not about the last 6 days. It's about 20-plus years of immigration policy that favored things like deterrence as a way to stop people from coming into the U.S. illegally. We tried deterrence in the 90s, and that's where we got the first round of walls. And what ended up happening is kids and parents crossing in the desert, people dying more often, the numbers went down, but a whole other set of challenges presented itself. And so here's the unintended consequences of this deterrence policy by the Trump administration. And we have to figure out where we go from here.
Yeah, and the thing is, the failures of the last 20 years, they absolutely matter by way of a political discussion. They don't matter at all in putting these kids back together with their parents. This is on Donald Trump's watch. This is on his desk. It's on his agenda. And it's up to him to fix it. You can have an argument all day about the other people, but they're not in power anymore.
That's right. And I just wish that the president had gone inside that facility and seen what I had seen. I wish yesterday the First Lady, quite frankly, when she was down there, was able to get inside and see what I saw. Because the reality, the facts on the ground of what's happening on the border, not just in McAllen or Brownsville, but in El Paso and in Aravaca, Arizona, and Ajo, Arizona, and New Mexico, and California, it's just not what you hear politicians talking about in Washington, D.C. It just isn't the reality of a crisis war zone where violent people and drugs and chaos is the norm. Why don't you ask the people that live down there? I mean, that is, to me, the most shocking thing, is that America believes what's happening on the border is as crazy as what's happening in war zones around the world.
Right.
And those cities are some of the safest cities in America, with some of the nicest people, many of them of Latino heritage, many of them would relatives in Mexico and other countries. And so they value that. They value that culture. They value that heritage. And it's certainly not the way that folks in Washington think about what's happening on the border. So I feel lucky. I feel blessed and really just grateful to NBC for sending me along on this journey for months, because I went in there 6 days ago with a much different perspective on what was happening, and I certainly came out of it affected and changed forever. But I just know that there's a way forward from here.
It's Jacob Soboroff, Sunday night. It's The Dividing Line, 6 o'clock Chicago time, 7 o'clock east and west, wherever you are in the country. A very important watch, and thanks for that great reporting that you've already done, and we look forward to seeing it, learning from it, and getting a hold of our elected reps and telling them to actually stop being gutless and do their jobs. Thank you, Jacob.
Yeah, well, thank you, and a shout-out to all my friends in Chicago. I hope you guys are having a good one.
I appreciate that.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Don't let me down. That steady old Chevy has seen me happy and seen me sad. We cruised through a lot of good times and rolled out the bad. A for sale sign as long as I'm around. Your friends may come and friends may go, but that Chevy don't let me down.
You go to WGNradio.com/contest, and it's so simple to enter. Take you less than a minute if you're paying attention, and then you're in. You got an opportunity to win the limited edition Centennial Chevy Silverado, that fabulous pickup. That's Hamp's car. Well, not literally. It's the one he drives as well.
See, that would be the giveaway.
Giveaway Hamp's car.
Now, this is a great...
Hamp may swap you out. Hamp's, I think, is a 17. He may swap you out.
When I was a kid, I wanted this Chevy truck so bad. You know what it was? It was like Back to the Future at the end when his life goes right and he pulls it open and then there's the truck there.
Yeah.
That truck made me go, I want a truck.
You want that truck. Did your family have Chevys?
My family, my dad had a Chevy truck. We actually went across country in a Chevy truck. He built out the bed and made like a whole little camper thing.
Nice.
And then it stalled out on a turnpike in Maine in rush hour, and we had to go get a new battery for it, and we blocked traffic for like an hour and a half.
But they were pleased because they got to see a Chevy.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. Back a tricked out Chevy.
Dave, you had a Chevy Blazer?
Yeah, for when I got married, first car we bought was a Chevy Blazer.
They're bringing a Blazer back. The Blazer is coming back, I believe, for 19, maybe
yes, I saw really? That. Yeah,
20. The new Blazer, yeah.
It was a crossover, great. Yeah.
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, I probably had five Blazers. I've been a GM guy forever, a Chevy guy forever. Super Joe, what's your favorite Chevy?
Chevy Tahoe, actually.
Hello.
White Lightning.
No. Well, it wasn't a White Lightning. Yeah. No, this was more like a green Beast.
Beast. So, whatever your Chevy flavor is, know that the Silverado could round out your buffet at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Get all sorts of details, but it's just really easy if you go to WGNRadio.com/contest and enter today. Now, you want to give away more of these passes?
Yeah, I do. Okay, so we're going to give away the pack to the Blackhawks convention coming up here. 312-981-7200. All right, so let's do this. I've been doing this all week.
And then I have some information for you related to the list.
Okay, so number of call, let's see. So let's do Brandon Saad is number 20, but he also was drafted, because it's about the draft this weekend. He was drafted overall second round, 43rd pick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so 43rd pick, 4 plus 3 is 7. Let's do 7th caller, 312.
You know what I like? I like your linear thinking in this.
No, I want it to be more complicated than it should be.
All right, so we were talking to Dr. Sam a few minutes ago. I hold in my hands the most popular dog names in Chicago. What do you think the most popular dog name in Chicago is? Dave, you know, because I told you off the air.
Yeah.
Dakota.
Dakota.
That's an
interesting name, but that didn't make the list.
Spike.
Spike is also not correct.
Going to be something related to the Cubs, like Clark, Madison.
Nope. Bella.
Rizzo.
Oh, Bella.
Bella. Yeah.
Steve.
Bella!
My sister had a dog named Belle.
That's based on like a Disney. Isn't there a Bella in a recent Disney movie?
Oh, I was thinking of something else. Max is number 2. My dad had a black lab named Max that was the laziest dog ever. I love that dog. Laziest dog ever. He had this wood stove, this old country wood stove that heated up the shop where he did small engine repair and the stuff he goofed around with after he quit working his regular job. And one day, I went in there looking for him, and Max is just sitting there. And Max is always happy, wagging a tail, but didn't move a whole lot. And Max sitting there, and then Max, I'm in there 30 seconds. I notice Max is whimpering a little bit. And I go, Max, what's the matter? And then I noticed that Max's fur was singed because Max was sitting too close to the wood stove and was too tired to move.
Mm-hmm. That's the story of my life.
My husband's family had a golden retriever named Callahan. So Cal was this dog, and it was great. And for some reason, they all had it. Like, Pat's mom and dad had it, and then Pat had it for a while, and his brothers, whatever.
I like Callahan.
And
that's
so
cool,
one
man.
Of the brothers, though, they had the dog, and then when their son was born, they named it Callahan after the dog because they really liked the name.
Mm. Here's the rest of the top 10. Charlie, Rocky, Lucy, Coco, Daisy, Lola, Buddy, and Bailey.
I know a lot of dogs with those names.
I know a lot of Bailey dogs.
I just realized there's a Bella on it.
Those are all kids.
You're us, too.
Mm-hmm. That's like you just named Miles' fourth grade class, fifth grade class.
Well, that's the thing. Naming after kids? People is the big thing now. Dogs aren't named like Sparky anymore. They have to have a name.
Sam's a good name for a dog.
Biscuit on the list?
Oh, wait, that was the vet.
Yeah.
Biscuit is not on the list.
Biscuit's not.
I named our cat's named Minetta, and the cat is named after the Minetta Tavern in New York City, which is a famed restaurant. We went to the Minetta Tavern when I was there just recently, and we sat down, and the bartender, I said, we named our cat after this place. Nonplussed. Could care less.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
he seriously really is like, I don't care what your cat's name. What do you want?
Jenny from Bucktown in this story says she has a golden doodle, and they named it Zippity. Zip 80.
Oh, I like
Zippity.
That. Cute. I like that.
Zippy is Pete Zimmerman's nickname.
Is it really?
Really?
Yep, Zippy.
Oh, learn something new every day.
Why do we call Pete Zippy?
It's Pete Zimmerman. I think it's because he's fast around the bases.
Oh, okay.
He's fast around the bases.
Oh, boy.
Somebody's watching him run 16-inch softball like, look at that guy go!
That didn't sound
good. We should call him Zippy!
I like Remy, too, is a big dog's name now.
Remy?
Remy, yeah. I have a Remy grand dog and an Elliot.
Remy, like...
If you give me your area code, I will give you the most popular dog name in your area code, according to this survey. Okay. Or not your area code. You had a zip code. Your zip code.
What were your dog's names, Steve?
Ginger, Max, as I mentioned, Pal.
Ooh, I like that.
Cleo. Cleo's a dog we had for a really long time. Mindy. And Saddam. We had Saddam for a while until that became unpopular. Okay. Zip code, Dave.
Let's go. Well, how about right here? 60601. Yeah.
60601. Would you believe Charlie? Charlie would be your number one.
I'll go. Okay. I'll go. 60607.
60607. I thought these would be in better order and they'd be easier to find.
I'll pick the second one on your list.
You must have meant 60707.
Yeah, that's what
and
I
that's
meant.
Bella.
Yeah.
Bella.
Can you do 60093?
60093. Is that your zip code or are you just having fun with me now?
No, that's my zip code.
Or the third one on the list.
60093. Would you believe Penny?
Penny.
Penny.
I don't know one dog near me named Penny.
Penny. Well, listen, don't tell it to the people who did the survey.
Penny. Penny, get down, Penny.
6-0-1-8-1.
60181. Princess.
What? Don't know any of those either.
847 says a dog named Duke. Duke's a good
dog. That is a good, a good dog name.
Duke's a good name for like a big fluffy poodle.
I was thinking more like a black lab. Come here, boy.
Let's try Duke.
I know two Dukes. They're big dogs.
That's a good dog named Cooper. Cooper.
I like Cooper.
I know a kid named Cooper.
When I first moved to Chicago, I had a black Labrador named Wrigley Clark Addison.
Yeah, that's too
and wrong. I thought I was being cute. And when I went to the veterinarian, she took me to the filing area and said, look at all the Wrigleys. And it was literally 8 feet long. Yeah,
there's a lot of them.
Did you try to change the name?
No, I didn't.
And now
I had a dog named Pine Tar.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And now your dog, Steve, is Edward Murrow.
Edward Rover Murrow.
Yeah.
That's great. 224 says they have a dog named, this is a great name, Maddox Jenkins.
Maddox Jenkins?
That's a Chicago Cubs.
Fergie yes. Greg?
Nice. Yes.
That's great.
Number 31.
I just love it. Maddox Jenkins.
60626. Sophie? 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 Charlie, I mentioned.
All right. Yeah, our neighbors had a dog named Sophie.
60827, Palmyra and Kobe are the most popular names. How could there be more than one Palmyra or Kobe?
Palmyra or Palmero?
No, it says Palmyra. Palmyra.
I wouldn't do Kobe. I'd do Robert Ory.
What about 60640?
60640, Edward R. Murrow.
That's
fun. That's one. Neighbor's dog was Kevin. It was always funny. This is an 847. Neighbor's dog was Kevin. It was always funny to hear somebody go out back and go, Kevin! Kevin!
It's like
Kevin,
when you hear down. Stella.
Stella! Stella!
That's
Dakota Nash.
Yeah.
My first dog was Fairway. I'm the daughter of a golf pro. I have a French bulldog named Dude. Yeah, we had these redneck neighbors when I was a kid. Who am I kidding? They're all rednecks. And the redneck neighbors named their dog Dog.
That makes sense.
Dog.
Yeah.
You can tell it apart from your other possessions.
It was easier for filing purposes, I suppose.
We know what that animal is. It's a dog.
It's a dog.
It's a dog. There's a good dog named Bruiser.
Yeah.
Misty April, black lab named Wellington. Oh, Wellington, it's time for dinner. 7:32. We'll be back with your headlines in a moment on 720 WGN.
I got it. I'm Pat Stitt.
All right, let me hear it.
Now, from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
We're locked. Systems check out. Signal across the board. What's the frequency?
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
So it was, about a week ago?
Yep.
Justin Kaufman was supposed to present the game ball.
Right, Sunday on Father's Day, yeah.
At the White Sox game.
Yeah, I was going to run out to the field. A dream come true since I was a kid. Get a chance to be at the center of a Major League Baseball diamond.
I mean, a real thrill.
A real thrill. Looking forward to it like I've never looked forward to anything in my entire life.
I mean, a lifetime highlight. Bucket list.
Tears were flowing.
So you are a fine father, so you brought your lovely and talented son, Miles.
I did. I brought Miles with me to the game.
And Miles hijacked the moment. Isn't that accurate, Miles?
Yes.
Isn't that what happened?
It's very accurate.
Miles, do you think they picked you because you're cute and funny or because you are a major baseball talent?
Well, second one isn't really true, so I'm going with the first.
So we went from a big promotion plug hit for the show to a giant board with good looking Miles up there.
That's better.
Oh,
and Dave was at the game, and he and it says welcome from WGN.
Yes.
You know, WGN Miles Kopp. They did a whole change, and Miles was representing 720 WGN.
And the people sitting near me in the stands were like, Miles Kaufman, WGN Radio. When's he on?
Yes.
Yeah, I would like to hear that.
He needs his own show. Miles, your last appearance got a lot of fan mail. We had emails. Yes. We had social media hits. People are very fond of you.
Yes, precious fan mail.
Are you having some sort of Lord of the Rings moment over there?
Yeah, what's going on over there?
Is it Lord of the Rings or is it The Hobbit? Nobody knows.
I know I don't. Are you sure you're only 10?
Maybe.
I mean, how old are you? You got any ID on you?
I am 10.
Okay.
Yes.
And you're turning 11 soon. All right. Yes. So let me ask you, what was it like to, because you ran out full on to the mound and you got to put the ball right at the center of the mound and stand there and take a picture. But you were at the center, I mean, 5 minutes before the game started. Was it cool to see all the fans and be at the center of a Major League Baseball game?
Yes, it really was. Because like all those fans were like counting on me when like, they saw like the picture with my cheesy thumbs up and my smile.
Did you milk it a little bit? Did you wave to the crowd?
Yes.
Good
sometimes.
For you, man. Good for you.
Well, yeah. I'm waving to the camera, and the camera is going to the Jumbotron. The Jumbotron is technically waving to the crowd. So.
Now I told you to run the bases. What happened there?
That didn't happen.
Why didn't it happen?
Because Mom told me you could get arrested for that.
Did your mom also say never listen to Mr. Cochran about anything that he says?
No.
Okay. Nice of you to say.
There was funny because Miles said right before he went out there, he goes, I'm going to do what Uncle Steve said. And I'm like, not do that. Not do what you're told by the White Sox organization.
Are you fast when you run? You look like you're fast.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, he could look good out there.
He ran faster than anybody in the history of presenting the game ball.
Is that right?
Completely sure?
Well, I don't know, but usually you do a half jog. Dave's been at many different games. He's seen many different presentations. Usually it's not a sprint to the mound for presenting the game ball. There's a jog or maybe a little bit of a walk.
Yeah.
Miles went full on sprint.
You probably had something else to do.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to go with the sort of the parade wave deal when you walk
out
there.
Not when you're Miles.
Yeah.
Not when you're Miles. Miles got too much going on.
I'm just like, okay, I want to get to the stadium. I want to get to these hot seats, these red hot seats.
Now, here's the thing, though.
Run to the mound and run back.
But I understand that your grandfather, all he wanted was the ability to get in and get to his seat.
Yeah, we talked about Papa wanting to go with us. Remember, he wanted to go into the special spot.
He didn't even get VIP entrance. He had to stay out with the regular people.
Yep. Just all regular people.
I don't know. I think you should have taken care of your grandfather even before
Steve's
your father.
Mad that I didn't bring Papa on the field with us.
We should have. It would have been a lifetime experience for him.
So your dad and your grandfather got hosed, yet you got this and you're only 10. You're living the life, aren't you, Miles?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
But, you know, I give Miles credit because afterwards he said, "You should have done it."
Mm-hmm. It was Father's Day. You should have done it.
Yeah, but you stepped up because let's be honest. Justin Kaufman got nervous and he begged you to do it and cover him. Is that what happened?
It's possible.
Well, that's kind of what happened. Kind of.
Is it kind of what happened?
All right, so you got to start camp on Monday?
Yes.
What camp do you go to?
Don't say which one, but what type of camp is fine.
It's Park District.
Is it like general
swim,
sports?
Yep.
Yeah.
We had the open house last night. We learned all about what you can and can't bring to the camp. And
is it sleepaway camp or day camp?
No, it's day camp. Yeah.
Day camp. Okay.
Miles is an old hat at this. This is like sixth year of doing this.
Is any of your buddies gone?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's your favorite part about camp?
Just maybe lunch.
I see you as a leader at camp. Are you a leader? You kind of steer the kids in one direction or the other?
I'm not that much of a leader. I'm like half a leader. I'm half a follower.
Okay, so it depends on your mood.
Yeah,
it depends on your mood.
I think your favorite thing to do is the field trips because they do a lot of cool field trips.
Yes, so
like what?
Swim places and stuff like that.
Like at the shed? They go swim at the shed?
No, do you go to the shed?
No.
Yeah, we shouldn't swim at the shed.
We go to Museum and Science and Industry.
Well, that's cool. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite museum in Chicago, Miles?
Science and Industry. It's cool because it's like programming some like, they have a new exhibit I saw on a trash can. It said, like, stapled or not.
Yeah, like a flyer.
Yeah, it was on
a flyer
on a trash can.
Yeah, yeah.
And it said, behind Pixar, or, like, behind the scenes in Pixar. And then it showed, like, Buzz Lightyear, but it showed, like, a bunch of pixels under Buzz Lightyear.
Come on.
And I was like, oh, my God, why?
Blow my mind. Come on. Unbelievable. Well, Miles, we may need you later in the show again. I know we're interrupting a Photoshop project you're working on, but we may need you to come back. Are you going to be available?
Yes, I'm available all the time.
Okay. We don't need to talk to your people?
Nope.
Well, your people's your dad, so yeah.
Yes, and he's on
that.
Here.
Yes, he could clear it.
Yeah.
All right, Miles, thanks for coming out. You got any girls you want to say hi to?
No. Maybe my mom or my grandma. You know, she's watching.
All right, so your mom and grandma, say hi to them.
My other grandma, Manana. That's who that is.
Your grandma's name's Banana? Is that what you said, Banana?
No, I said Nana.
Oh, Nana. I'm sorry, I wasn't listening closely.
Good job, Miles.
Miles, okay. Thanks for being on, buddy.
You too.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I have to be here. It's my job.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Thanks. Good kid, man. Good kid. Took after your wife, right?
It's still a long way to go. You know, he's only 10.
Oh, so you think there could be trouble?
I mean, there's still, it's not over.
He's got years to disappoint you?
Yeah, there's still years to go. You don't want to peak too early.
I understand.
You want to be the 10-year-old that everyone's like, this kid's going to be great. And then he's 17. You're like, get up off the couch.
We're back in a moment on 720 WGN. 815 texter, is Justin's 30-day probationary period over yet? Because I think Miles will be a suitable permanent replacement.
I agree.
Your kid is just taking your light, man.
That's okay. You know, because the way I see it is all of that light will be shown on me when I'm older.
You had a nice run, though.
Yeah, I had a nice run.
Was it 3 years?
He's just going to have to take care of me.
That's 2 years? 3 years?
It was 3 years.
Yeah.
It was a nice run.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I slept like 2 hours last night. Ridiculous. I have a torn meniscus in my right knee, and there's just no place that I'm comfortable.
Man, that's terrible.
Like, I'll lay on one side, then I'll lay on the other, so flopping around like a fish.
Are you able to play golf?
We're going to find out as soon as it stops raining.
You need a new knee.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
I mean, that sounds terrible, but getting splashed on Columbus at 5:30 in the morning, that's worse.
What happened to you?
No, I was just walking up from the parking lot, and a car went zipping by at 60 miles per hour in Columbus because you can at 5 a.m. in the morning, I guess. And
you think it was Eric from Eric and whoever?
It probably was Eric. It was probably whoever. It wasn't Eric, it was whoever. Mm-hmm. And but the zip passed, and the classic film-like tidal wave splash.
Like a movie shot.
Like a movie shot.
Like a wave.
Drenched me head to toe. I had to take the shirt off. Right now I put the shirt back on because I got a lot of guests coming in, but it does probably stink like Chicago River.
Well, Dave smells like skunk from Ozzy, and you smell like Chicago River, so the guests should enjoy it.
Yeah. Nice. Can I just say thanks to Dave Ennett for being my escort in the morning from the parking lot? It's wonderful.
Well, you want to explain? You guys walk how far?
Yes, we meet there together every morning.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The parking lot.
I meet every day.
Parking lot is about 15 miles away.
At the same parking lot.
I hold the umbrella over Mary's head as we walk across the bridge on Columbus.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's very sweet.
Yeah, it is
very,
nice.
Very sweet.
It is nice.
He protects me from all the water that's, you know,
right.
Like, so I don't get what.
Yesterday, I ran into one of our coworkers on the bridge who observed that he had just seen an Asian carp in the Chicago River.
What?
Yep.
Wow.
I keep looking every morning for a body floating in the river. I'm sure that's going to happen soon.
I saw a bike there laying down just on the bridge, and I thought, okay. So I looked over to see if anybody had jumped. I was a little nervous. I couldn't find anyone that belonged to the bike. It was a divvy bike deserted on the bridge.
I want to thank the Blue Cross Blue Shield folks as well. Pat Brady and I did a politics discussion yesterday. They were in the middle of a day-long seminar, and I got up on stage, and I said, hey, you know, it's going to be fun now, a little break in the action. Let's talk politics. And we talked about the good, the bad, and the ugly, and very nice people, Blue Cross Blue Shield meeting, and they're good partners for the radio station. So I had a Mr. Miller and everybody there. CEO, that company's a good story. We should have him on at some point.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's do this. Take a break, come back, news in a moment. Dean in a moment as well. Who's coming up?
Danielle Pinnock is coming in, the actress who, Chicago actress who is now a regular on Young Sheldon on CBS, as well as performed on the show This Is Us on NBC. So lots to talk about coming up here.
On 720 WGN. right, Dean time now. This is Moron Entertainment, sponsored
Dean
by
time.
Brand New Smile Dental Implant
it's
Center.
Dean time.
Remember the other day we were talking about how Danielle Pinnock's taking all the jobs? Remember we were talking about that?
I remember that. Dean time.
It's Dean's covering it, too. Dean's covering the Danielle Pinnock takeover of Hollywood.
Yeah.
Everybody's talking about it. Danielle's here.
I hear she's going to be taking over the role that Roseanne once played on that show.
How great would that be?
Oh, my God.
How great would that be? And they don't explain it at all, and
they
suddenly you're just married to Dan.
Right.
That'd be hysterical.
Yep.
I love him.
That'd be fantastic.
A new page in the Connor family, everybody.
Exactly.
Good morning.
Danielle, great to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, y'all.
I love you. I love your success, and congrats on everything and your 48 jobs.
Oh, my God. Trying to pay the rent.
Oh, you're getting it done.
Yes.
Let me go in reverse order here, kind of, anyway. This Is Us, hottest show on TV. How's that come for you?
Listen, actually, that audition came very randomly. It was a self-tape. So basically, I was in my apartment at that time, and I had zero furniture with a lampshade and a camera. That was my audition.
Wow,
for This Is Us. And I was actually traveling to a funeral that weekend, and I was in Jersey at the time, and then I got the call literally after the barrel being like, you booked it. Be back in L.A. tomorrow. And I was like, cool.
Now, what was the audition? Did you straight read as normal? Or?
Yep, just as normal. They were looking for someone to be in Chrissy Metz's group, and my agent just sent me the sides, and I said, all right, let's put it on tape, and I sent it over to them, forgot about it, and then literally after the burial.
Did that get you young Sheldon, or were they separate deals?
You know, it was separate deals, but I think that kind of started picking up the pace for the jobs that I started to have.
Because there's some buzz about you then, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is young Sheldon fun? Is that a fun set?
Oh, my gosh. It is a blast. We have so much fun. We're joking all the time. It's a lot of improv. It's a dream come true. I love those folks.
How about that little kid? Little snot-nosed kid? You want to smack him? Is that
never,
right? Oh, sorry.
Never. Oh, my God. Ian Armitage is probably probably one of my favorite people I've ever worked with. He's so, so smart in real life and on
and
the show.
And a good kid.
Oh, so good and so talented.
It's scary how talented he is. He's,
no.
I mean, he's so, he does everything. On the episode last night, they were showing him singing and dancing for like a talent show or something.
Yes.
In which he was going to play Annie. He was going to have the lead role at Annie, which was hilarious. But he's a really good singer and a really good dancer. And how old is he? 10, 12?
He's actually 9
years old.
Like he's 9 and he's a 5-tool player.
Listen, and like, but he has a big theater background too.
Yeah.
Speaking of theater, you spent 3 years here in Chicago doing theater.
Surely did.
You did your one-woman show, which was a popular show. How did doing that show and being in Chicago theater prepare you for the career you're having now?
Oh, my God. The thing I would say about theater in Chicago is that you're definitely doing it for the love at first. There's not a lot of money that comes into it. So, but the shows that I, and the people that I was able to work with early on in Chicago is just kind of unreal. My first job was as an understudy at the Goodman and Vera Stark. And
your first job.
My first
your
job.
Your first job is at the Goodman.
But listen,
No. I was the tree in the Christmas play. And your first job is at the Goodman.
Listen, I was an intern for the Goodman in their casting department first. So I had to do the brunt work, lay the groundwork down. But that's how I got that job. Is I was like, hey, do you have any understudies? And they were like, sure, why not? And that job just kind of led into my agent at Stewart Talent here in Chicago, and then it just kept on.
It grew from there.
It just kept on growing.
Yeah, but you're a very fun person to be around, and I do think that makes a big difference.
Thanks.
Yeah, because people want it. You know, it's a long day on a set, and you want to be around people you want to be around.
Absolutely.
Right?
It's true. It's true.
Dean, you've never met Danielle, is that right?
I don't believe I have.
How is a big shot show business dude like you not familiar with Danielle? Oh, I know you're familiar, but she avoids been
me.
In the room.
Your people don't let me near.
They shut it down?
Yeah.
Shut it down.
We may have, like, back in your theater days here in Chicago.
Had to.
When we were covering, different productions that were going on here in Chicago.
Yes.
I'll bet we crossed paths.
Oh, yeah. I was doing all of the theater. I was in Second City as well, too, and that was, I mean, there's no theater like in Chicago. It has the best theater in really the nation. I mean, and I'm from the East Coast, and I've seen all the shows in New York. I've seen the stuff in L.A. Chicago, by far, has the best theater in America.
Theater gives you the opportunity to have a consistent body of work, for you
Absolutely.
To stay on stage and continue to work. In Hollywood, when you get to you're having success with Young Sheldon, This Is Us, but one of the things you've talked about, I've watched the SAG-AFTRA discussion you had about this, is kind of how do you deal with the ups and down time? There's a lot of up and down time. You'll be really hot real quick, and then you got 6 months off. How do you deal with that as an actor, especially somebody who comes from the theater background?
Absolutely. I mean, I feel like for myself, is I had to start creating my own work, because at the time when I was doing theater, there weren't many opportunities for me as a black woman of size. So I was either going to be playing the maid, the best friend, and I was like, I'm tired of that. So let me just start doing my one woman show. And then that's what led me to comedy. And I would say that for anybody, it's like there's so many outlets right now digitally with Hulu and Netflix.
You
and
can invent a job. That's what I tell kids
really
all the time.
Yeah.
Just get on it. Just get on these internets. There's three or four of them, isn't there?
Absolutely. Instagram, Facebook. I mean, there's so many opportunities to be seen and to have your work be shared. And that's what I was doing. I mean, I had a lot of side hustles, a lot of jobs. I was doing Postmates. When I was here in Chicago, I was packaging cookies at Girl Scouts. I don't think I ever told
that. Is that right?
I was right down here, right downtown. I was the Thin Mints packager in the basement.
Does that make you want to eat more Girl Scout cookies?
Nope.
Or never want to eat them?
Never want to eat them again. Lovely folks. Amazing folks to
What's
work
the peanut
for.
Butter ones? Are those tag-alongs?
Yeah, there's tag-alongs.
Yeah, let me tell you something. I commit a crime for those.
Oh, my God.
Those tag-alongs are, that's what I'm talking about. All right, more with Danielle in a second. Dean, when we come back, you're going to tell us about Roseanne coming back, a new Chance the Rapper story. We love Chance. And the big movie of the weekend, all coming up. What's coming up at 8:30 before we get back to Moron Entertainment, sponsored by New Smile Dental Implant Center. Brand New Smile Dental Implant Center.
Dean Richards, the entertainment editor, Channel 9 and 720.
Very happy and pleased, thrilled and delighted, as Mel Brooks would always say.
It's always ready.
To have Danielle Pinnock in studio. Wait, tell me about your family. Where'd you grow up?
Do I like him?
New Jersey.
Where in Jersey?
Teaneck, in the which nobody really knows about.
I know about Teaneck.
Really?
Yeah, sure.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
But my whole family is Jamaican, so I'm the first generation.
You're the only one in show business?
No, I actually have an aunt in show business, and she is the bomb.
What does she do?
She's a Shakespearean. She's
me too.
Really good.
Me too. Dean and I do a lot of Shakespeare.
Yep.
Yeah.
She's incredible.
should see our Hamlet.
Yeah, our Hamlet's tremendous. And remember, we did Mo Macbeth. Remember that?
I believe there actually was a hip hop version of Macbeth called that.
Oh, was it really?
My gosh.
At the Shakespeare Theater, right?
Well, as a black entertainer, I understand these things.
Oh my God.
We were talking off the air and a little bit on the air too about getting stereotyped and stuff, because Hollywood is open and understanding, as Hollywood alleges to be. They go, well, we got Viola, we got Octavia, we got Taraji P. Do we really need broad-minded roles for other African American women?
Right.
I mean, that's a hurdle you have to clear, right?
Absolutely. And I feel like for me, any time my agents, they send me something that looks somewhat questionable, because I've gotten some really weird auditions in L.A., like, oh, we need this plus-size woman to have a scruffy face. And you're kind of like, what does that mean?
Right.
At all. But I'll just say, no, thank you. Please let them know. Grateful for the opportunity, but I'm not going in. But I just have to kind of carve out my own space. And I think with creating my own work, I have an Instagram series called #booked. And casting people are starting to see, oh, this girl, she's actually pretty offbeat. And she's kind of like a black Melissa McCarthy. That's who she is. So writing, I mean, like, I have to write my own stuff in order for people to see, like, who I actually am. Because I'm not the maid. I'm not.
Yeah, or the wisecracking neighbor.
Right, exactly.
Or the best friend. Now, Dean, show business buzz better than anybody. Are you picking up the same buzz we're picking?
Yeah, everything is that she's saying is 100% true. Do you think it's changing, though? Do you see anything having a change in the last couple of years?
Well, you know what I would say for especially plus-size women, there is a change with Chrissy Metz on This Is Us. She is doing, I mean, a rock star job right now. And there's shows like Dietland, and Amber Riley has been breaking barriers for a very, very long time. It's happening slowly. And I feel like there's only room for one or two, but I don't have time for that. And I'm definitely stubborn and a Taurus. Right. And
there's a lot, I think maybe I'll be 100% wrong, but I think, you know, Black Panther has burst open the doors.
Absolutely.
For new opportunities, new ways of looking at who is appropriate for what role.
Absolutely.
It was a very entertaining movie, but a game changer.
It truly was.
So do you face more hurdles because you keep bringing up plus size? You look fabulous, and you're not going to tell me anything different. But you can look fabulous and be any size you want, right?
That's right.
Yeah, and do you face more dopey hurdles because you're black or because you're...
Both.
Which is worse? Or is there one?
To be honest, I would say it's both combined together because there's a very small amount of us in L.A. to begin with. When you go to L.A., I always say even the big people are little because everyone's drinking kale and doing all kinds of craziness. And I had to learn very quick. But I definitely feel like my friends who are plus size that are black were all in the same rooms. We're all in the same auditions. And it's usually for one role. Sometimes it's like a role in a line or two lines. So the great thing is with writers like Shonda Rhimes, she's creating opportunities for us. I was just on Scandal recently with Kerry Washington and Viola Davis, which was kind of the experience of a lifetime. And she just created this really, really cool role for me to be in with these two kind of film
Please
and
tell
TV
me they
giants.
Were, they were cool chicks, I hope,
oh,
right?
Oh, my God.
Okay, all right, good.
They were incredible.
Cool
they were
chicks.
So sweet.
Yeah. Well, Sinatra?
That's a compliment.
Hey, tell me about
they
them.
Tell me about them dames. Were they great dames or were they not great dames?
Majestic.
It's,
they were amazing.
It's a compliment.
That's a line of the show. Dean just gave a line of the show. What are you, Frank Sinatra?
All right, Dean. Roseanne's back. What's going on?
They've been hammering out a deal for the last couple of weeks on this and finally worked it out last night. The Roseanne show will be back, but without Roseanne.
Seems right.
It's going to be called The Connor Show. John Goodman, Laurie Metcalf, Sarah Gilbert. Everybody else will be back on the show. The deal that they've been working out the last couple of weeks is removing Roseanne Barr's financial interest in the show because she owns it. She owns the likeness. She owns everything. So she and ABC had to come to some sort of arrangement in which she would not financially benefit for this show being rebooted after her racist tweets.
But she's going to financially benefit because she's going to get paid out.
Oh, sure she is. Sure. And I have a funny... I got mixed emotions about this.
I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure that she is going to because she was fired from the show. And I think that she may have agreed to it just so her coworkers and about the 200 other people that work on that show will not lose their jobs because of her tweets that she sent
out. Well, here's the deal. There's no excusing what she did. There's no excusing what she tweeted. If her career's over, she asked for it, and she deserved it. But she owned the show before she did that. And if you own your house before you do something stupid to the neighbor, you still own your house. So I'm not sure she shouldn't get paid for the property.
Well, they feel like ABC feels like she should not have financial gain as a result of what she did with this. That they would continue the show. It's profitable for them. Makes huge money for them also.
Better not be up against young Sheldon.
That's right. We're going to take sides if that happens.
Danielle will drill that show.
Show's going to be back in the fall. It's going to be on Tuesday nights. They have not said how they're going to deal with Roseanne suddenly being gone.
Hit by a train with Charlie Sheen.
She was, you know, the last episode before the summer break, she was going in for knee surgery. So maybe,
that's it.
Maybe the surgery.
Riders, they're in the room right now. I bet you.
That's risky. Chance the Rapper, what's happening?
He was, he took the kids from his nonprofit group, Social Works, out to a brand new water park that's just, actually just opening today in Gurnee, the Great Wolf Lodge. And I got to say, I don't think I've ever seen a rapper get into an inner tube and go down a giant water slide before.
Did he still have his hat on?
He did still have his hat on.
You're not watching enough rap videos.
Apparently
not. It's all the time.
Usually they're by the pool drinking champagne. But this, he was in the you know, the inner tube, whatever, going down these giant slides, laughing and having so much fun with all these kids.
When NWA did Water Park? That was one of their favorites.
That was different. This Water Park donated $75,000 to his charity as well. So win-win-win for everybody.
All right, Jurassic World, any good?
I gave it a Dean's List C-.
Oh.
I was a little disappointed in it. It's nostalgic. It's you know, fun to revisit the franchise, but I just didn't think they made the characters very relatable, and I think you have to do that to care about them. The movie has to be more than, oh, there's a dinosaur, let's run, because that's pretty much what this movie is right now.
Did they explain Dean in the trailer? I haven't seen the film, but in the trailer, my wife and I have been joking about how they become psychologically dangerous in the way that one of the dinosaurs sneaks into the girl's room and he's like lording over her with his, like, that's not how dinosaurs work. Like, they're not going to, they're not like sneaking
stuff
into the room.
Like,
yeah,
that's hard.
Like, it's a weird, at least explain why that's happening.
These, I don't want to give away too much, but, you know, these many of these dinosaurs have evolved from, because they were raised in captivity, they were raised in Jurassic Park, they were raised in the previous movie, Jurassic World, where they had relationships with especially the Chris Pratt character.
Right.
So some of that may be explained
As
a result of
it's
that.
Ridiculous. But it's ridiculous to see a T-Rex over a little girl being like, wake up.
It's like, scream, goodness.
Stupid. I don't get how, you know, there's dinosaurs running around. The place that you go is a bedroom where you can't escape.
Yeah, right.
I would be outside running down the road. Yeah. I would be running as far away as I possibly could.
Well, it's just from the same people that do the horror movie, and it's always the girl in her underwear who's looking in the closet when the front door is behind her.
Got a problem with that, Steve?
Run! Right. Are you on the radio Sunday?
I am. First show from the new studio. Among my guests, the incredible Felicia Rashad.
Oh, nice.
Who is directing a play at Steppenwolf right now. So we'll have some fun with that. Also, Chris Pratt, Bryce Dallas Howard, my incredibly goofy interview with Jeff Goldblum. That's all Sunday morning starting at 9 o'clock.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
That's Dean Richards. And Danielle Pinnock, just killing it in Hollywood, and good for her. She worked hard. She got it done. Now she's reaping the rewards, and there's still plenty of hard work ahead. You're always welcome here.
Thank you
for
having me.
I hope you come back home more often.
I miss Chicago so much. My God, it's my favorite city in the whole world.
So, and you just in town to plug the show?
Literally, I just came to go see Father Comes Home at the Goodman. That's it.
Nice.
I have a bunch of friends in there.
And to see us.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
are you kidding?
Yeah, see how I filled that in for you? You want to say hi to anybody that didn't give you a job, you know, to remind them who you are?
I could never. Find me on Instagram at Body Courage, and you can see my story and everything.
Nice.
Awesome.
God bless you.
Nice.
Thanks for being here. We'll come back with the headlines next, 720 WGN.
I believe I am psychic.
The heat tonight, and a guy on the mound that does not have a big fastball. I think that 13 home runs away is probably going to go by the boards this evening.
My first prediction, I am either going to fly or ruin that family's picnic.
Hey, you've ruined our picnic!
Psychic!
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Steve Stana, baseball is sponsored by Let Us Entertain Your Restaurants. Where are you eating this week?
I'm going to Beatrix. In fact, I'm going to head over right after the show, get some of the fresh juices, and you won't believe how good it is.
All right, fantastic. Let Us Entertain Your Restaurants. There are currently 9,000, and there's one in your backyard. That's how many there are. That's a successful company. Hey, Steve, I know you're a dog guy. We just threw this out this morning, and, of course, the texters went nuts. Favorite dog names, you know, the number one dog names. We got some great dog names in this crowd. Gizmo, Gracie, Maddox, Jenkins. Abandoned dog was actually stuffed in a sewer. They took him home and rescued him, and they named him Norton. Norton!
That's great.
Well, love that.
I was partial to the one I had. Rhodesian Ridgeback. We had Larry made it 13 and a half years. I always liked Larry.
Larry's a great name.
To grow into their name. Yeah, I thought Larry was a good one.
Black lab named Moose. That's a great name. Better be big or small. Super small is funny if your dog's named Moose as well. Misty, April, another black lab named Wellington, who we believe was quite snooty. And I love this from the 217. We named our dog Archibald Moonlight Graham.
Well, I like that. Very nice. Only played in one game. Didn't get in at bat.
Nice touch all the way around. Now, you got how many dogs now?
Three.
And their names?
Bob, Layla, and Lucky. Lucky, fairly traditional, but he came with that name, so that was kind of the deal.
Layla, because someone else was Derek and the Dominoes in the neighborhood, or what?
No, just, I don't know, I think dogs somehow, they seem to fit into a name, and she was kind of a nice, Layla. Hasn't played the guitar yet, but she's doing well.
And Bob, how can you miss with Bob?
When you call Bob, don't the neighbors say, hey, who's Steve yelling at?
Mr. Stone's having a spell. He's yelling at Bob.
No problem. Bob kind of likes it, so that's good.
Yeah, there you go. Justin, say hi to Steve Stone.
Hi, Steve Stone. How are you?
Fine, Justin. How are you?
Good. So this weekend, the Oakland A's in town, and of course a doubleheader today because of the rainout last night. What can we expect? Because the A's are one of these teams that maybe on paper they're playing around 500, but they are so nasty. They're a tough out.
They're a pretty good ball club, and they lost their third baseman Chapman for a while, and he's pretty good. In fact, the corners are building blocks for them. Olsen at first, Chapman at third. They appear to be pretty good. As far as young pitching is concerned, they've got some decent young pitching. I think the biggest thing that they have going for them, I think they have one of the best managers in baseball that people keep forgetting when they talk about great managers, and that's Bob Melvin. Historically, from the time that he was the bench coach for Bob Brenly and with the Diamondbacks, and then through a number of gigs for him, he's been terrific. So I think that's one of the most important things they have going for them. They seem to bring up some good young players. They have a guy named Franklin Barreto who's coming up, and he's got a chance to be a good one. So, you know, look, it is a small market team. They keep saying they're going to get a new stadium. We keep hearing that it's on the horizon, but, Maybe with the Fishers who own the team, the family founded the Gap. So money is not their issue. Maybe they'll be able to build one, perhaps right on top of the old one. But I think until they start drawing some people and still, taking advantage of a whole lot of the drawing power that they should have but don't because of their facility, I think they're going to sit where they usually sit, which is the inability to really get deep into the playoffs. Yeah. And that's the one criticism of the Billy Beane organizational philosophies is that they can get there. They just can't win when they get there. And you know, a lot of people say, well, small market team, but there's been some other small market teams that actually did get there. Oakland has not been one of those teams, but they're always competitive. They always make it a tough series for you. And unfortunately, the Animals are pairing up. I'm looking outside again, and it's raining very hard once again. So could be maybe a doubleheader tomorrow and a doubleheader on Sunday. That might be the way to get the four games in because today looks a little sketchy.
I hope not. I'm going to.
Not looking great at the moment. Speaking of good young players, what should White Sox fans take from the promotion of Eloy Jimenez to AAA, or is it just one more step in the process?
Well, all along, the Sox said that Jimenez would not come to the major leagues until he had some experience at AAA. So this is the place that he's going to play, and then eventually he will get called up. And when he does, he's going to make a lot of people very happy. And, you know, it was a great trade for both teams. When Quintana went to the Cubs, they got what they needed because they're trying to win today. And it was a good deal. And Dylan Cease and Eloy Jimenez coming to the Sox, and the Sox got what they want. Two guys who look like they're going to be able to play in the major leagues, not only get here, but then star when they get here. Jimenez is going to be a thumper. There is no doubt that this guy can really hit. He's going to show it at AAA. I'm pretty certain that he's going to dominate their pitchers just like he did in AA. So this is just one more step, but there are no more steps before he gets to the major leagues. He's going to get his at-bats. He's going to terrorize some pitchers, and then you know, he's got to work on his fielding. That's part of it. He's got to work on his baseball instincts. That will be another part of it. But as far as swinging the bat, and bear in mind that offense plays in the major leagues. If you can hit it, they will find a place for you. And for Jimenez, it's just a matter of AAA at-bats. Once he gets the requisite at-bats, and nobody knows what that number is going to be, he will be in the major leagues, and once he gets here, he will be here to stay.
Quick question, Avi Garcia. This could be the weekend he returns. Is he part of the future of the White Sox, or is this auditioning for possible trades at the deadline?
You can never say never. I don't know exactly. He's young enough to be part of that group, but you know, the one thing that that the Sox have, and they have a lot in their minor leagues, but one of the things they have in abundance is young outfielders. And so I would say when you take a look at the guys they traded away, and that was Sale and Quintana and Eaton, as well as the bullpen with Robertson and Kainley, you look at those guys and you say, if you're going to be where the Sox are right now, there's no such thing as an untouchable. I would say that everybody has a chance to be traded depending on the deal. I don't think that Avi Garcia is one of those guys you would say you can't possibly trade him. Of course you can. You can trade anybody. So I'm not going to tell you that he's going tomorrow or once he establishes himself here, he's going. I mean, you know, he did hit .330 last year. So this is a guy that can put the bat on the ball. I think that before you start thinking about moving him, you'd like to see him stay healthy for a while. It was kind of a freak injury to put him on the shelf. I don't think that he's ever had severe hamstring issues. So we have to assume that coming back, he's going to be the player he was last year. And if he's that player, the Sox will look at everything going into the trade deadline. And if somebody says, you know what, I don't think I can live without Avi, well, make me an offer. And that's like every guy on this team. There's guys you wouldn't want to trade. There's guys you're not going to actively shop. But if you get a proper deal for each and every one of these guys here, you will move them. It doesn't matter who that guy is, because you're in a situation you're building for the future.
White Sox A's all weekend and every game, of course, on 720 WGN. Before we run out of time here, Hunter Strickland threw another tantrum in San Francisco, and he's going to be out for a few days, mostly because he hurt himself. Who's the most temperamental, angry player you ever played with on your team?
Wow. That's
besides
hard to
yourself.
Say.
Besides yourself.
But I will tell you.
Yeah, besides Steve Stone.
One quick story. It took me to my second year in professional baseball, and I got taken out of a game, and I was most unhappy with it. So I went in, and I saw this big wastebasket, and I thought, okay, well, I can kick that because I'm not going to use my hands because that would make me a moron, like Hunter Strickland. Mm-hmm. He punches the wall with his hand.
Right.
He breaks his hand. The wall always wins when you punch a wall with your mm-hmm. pitching hand. And so I thought I was going to kick this wastebasket. I was going to kick it across the room. It was going to go flying. I had this in my mind's eye. As I went across and I kicked the wastebasket, only to find out that it was about a waist-high wastebasket. It was filled from top to bottom. And for 2 months, I had a shin splint that gave me all kinds of problems. And I decided that, you know what? I'll find something else to do besides take a part of my body and do something that will leave me with some permanent damage. And so, I think sometimes pitchers especially don't realize that the thing that you have that will make you your money is your pitching hand. And if you do anything to damage that, it's probably a terribly dumb thing. So maybe Strickland will learn from this. I know I did, but it took me to my second year. I wasn't in the major leagues at that point. So it's just something to bear in mind for maybe some young players that happen to be out there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do something else. You can swear a little bit if you like. You can do whatever you want.
Oh, just take it out on Twitter.
Well, yeah, that's caused some problems, especially if you have a burner account.
Steve Stone on Baseball, sponsored by Let Us Entertain You Restaurants. Again, where are you eating today?
I am eating at Beatrix as soon as I hang up this phone.
Go get some. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Steve.
That's okay, Steve Stone, A's and your White Sox all weekend long right here. All right. Hi, CLTV. Thank you to CLTV as we join them for this hour. They join us. We will take a break, one more break here, and come back with the 9 o'clock news. Steve standing by with that next on the Steve Cochran Show, and thank you for listening to it on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio, Steve Cochran on 720 WGN.
9:15, my friend Bill Conforti in a few minutes. Rick Garcia came to town, I don't know, 30 years ago?
Yeah.
Activist in the LGBTQ community like none other.
He's in the LGBT Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and it was original gang of four doing it when nobody else was doing it. And will never be fully appreciated for all the work he's done. But anyway, on Pride Week, we wanted to talk to him and say hello to you, sir.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
We're doing great. Doing great. Happy Pride Week. I guess that's the right way to put it, isn't it?
Well, that's how I put it. I was just going to say it to y'all. Happy Pride.
Justin and I were talking off the air about this the other day. Was it 30 years ago you came to town?
I came here in 1986, the very beginning of 1986.
Okay. 32?
Yeah, I came here 32 years.
32 years ago. Is there a way to even compare the situation for equal rights then and today?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, you know, sometimes when I talk to people who are younger than I am about, you know, just experiences or just things, they look at me like I have three heads. in city council, for instance, because that's where I first started doing my stuff, working for a simple ordinance that would ban discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation. You know, we needed 26 votes, and we could barely muster 10 or 15. And people wouldn't talk to us. People would avoid us. And now today, what we found, especially in the primary for the gubernatorial election, we had everybody sitting there, who's more gay? And who's more pro-gay than the other? They were like trying to out-gay each other. And I just sat there, and I was sitting with the friends of mine, and I said, okay, could you ever imagine?
How the world has changed.
The world has changed dramatically. But let me say this. The world has changed dramatically here in the great state of Illinois. But if we look at all of our borders and all of those states, they have the most oppressive situation for the LGBT community. None of the states around us. Cross over to Indiana, and if you're a lesbian or gay or bisexual or transgender person, you leave your rights at the border. Go up to Wisconsin, same, and don't go to Kentucky or Missouri, because over there it's horrendous for gay people. Here in Illinois, we have some of the strongest protections of lesbian and gay people's civil rights of any place in the country. We have strong hate crimes laws. We have all of that stuff, and the states around us don't.
Yeah, Rick, let me ask you, it's really interesting about what we've seen politically in the last year around the transgender community. Is that a similar plight when you see the backlash and the trouble with even getting laws on the books that gay and lesbian communities had to deal with back in the 80s and 90s?
Absolutely. And that there are so many parallels that you have people who are gender variant or transgender, and you know, you want to give them protections. Again, here in Illinois, it was difficult, but it wasn't too difficult. But all across the country, you know, people are just being mean. They don't understand you, but you know what? I don't understand a lot of things, so it doesn't mean I'm going to be mean about it. And the transgender community, of course, isn't as large as the LGBT community or the lesbian and gay community. And so, you know, they have special problems because they are only now becoming politically involved. And that's the most important thing, is to be politically involved if you want to ensure that your rights and, you know, are going to be protected.
Hey, Rick, the parade this Sunday, a lot of times when the Pride Parade in years past, there have been political issues that are first and foremost, whether it be gay marriage, issues that from the gay community that are on display at the parade. What would be that this year? Is it looking at the Supreme Court issue with the cake baking? Is it the transgender community? What is the issue that will be on display at the Pride Parade?
I think the major issue, one of the major issues that's facing the gay community across the country, is Donald Trump. That he has appointed to head, he has appointed cabinet members, he has appointed heads of departments, he has, and this is the thing that scares me, federal judges that, and almost to a one, they are anti-gay, they are unqualified, they're just right-wing bigots that came out of, you know, who knows where, and that is what is dangerous, because this administration, presidential administration, is trying to turn back the few gains that we have made nationally. And that is something we have to look at very clearly. You know, we're good here in Illinois, but every place else is a problem. And the few gains that we have, he is trying to undo.
Well, that's why turnout's so important. I did a speech yesterday talking right. about this. And so many people of you know, maybe a more democratic mind, but just right thinking regular folks who believe you can love who you love. If you're lucky enough to have somebody fall in love with you, you ought to be able to live your life.
You know what? Exactly. Good luck for you. And you know what? And I have to say something, is that I have a long record of being a very independent individual. I have supported some really great Republicans.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. I don't see any great Republicans today. I can't name one in Illinois, and I can't name one in our congressional delegation here in Illinois. And from my point of view, this hideous president, who I'm not even going to go into the list because we all know it, and the Republicans and our Republican Congress people stand right behind him.
There's a lot of people. I understand where you're coming from, but there are a lot of people in the Republican Party who need to step up and stand up for what a true Republican really is, and not this bigoted right. viewpoint that's being espoused
by
too many.
I long. Where are the Judy Bartopinkas, the Lolita Dietrichsons, the George Ryans, the Jim Edgars?
Well, the Pat Bradys. Pat Brady is on this show all the time.
Pat Brady.
Yeah.
I know. These people, you know, in my mind, I voted for many of them. I supported many of them because they were, you know what? They were just decent, good people.
That's what you want.
Today, the ones that are there, I don't see any decency. I don't see any goodness. I just see people going along with this imbecile president.
Rick, I just wish you had a point.
Right.
I just wish you'd take a stand on this.
Rick. Okay, well, last question just quickly about, well, and we'll have you back because I want to talk about this in greater length about the municipal election coming up.
Yeah.
Mayor Emanuel in the past has had the support of the gay community. That might be in jeopardy because of other candidates that are stepping up. Where do you see the gay community quickly when it comes to the municipal election for the mayor of Chicago?
Very quickly, this mayor has not been good. He has great PR, public relations puffery with regard to the gay community. One of his first acts was to gut the Chicago Human Relations Commission. He fired the mayor's liaison to the lesbian and gay community, and he defunded the Lesbian and Gay Hall of Fame. He is no friend of this community. There are a lot of other people in there, and I'd love to talk to you about it because I'm firmly behind Dorothy Brown because she's the only one who has stood with this community at times when no one else did. So
she's the one
to look at.
Let's have you back to talk about that and other things. By the way, as you go into this Pride weekend and have a safe celebration and a great celebration, know this and be proud of this. Henry Gerber was brave enough to start the Society for Human Rights in 1924. Chicago was home to the first gay rights organization in America. Imagine what that must have been like in 1924. So the history is there.
Exactly. Hard for me, but 10 times harder for him.
All right, Rick.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you, man.
Hey, thank you. Anytime. Bye-bye.
There you go, Rick Garcia. My friend Bill Conforti's here, and we'll talk to Bill in a second because Bill and his cobblestone crew just redid my house. We're not going to talk about my house necessarily, but we're going to talk about a generous guy Bill is and all the charitable stuff he's been doing. I just got a couple of minutes here to first say hi to my friend Bill Conforti, who is, as I said, a very generous guy. And I always tell people when we're giving away an opportunity to sit in on a show, you should take it because you can come in and talk about whatever you want for a few minutes. And all Bill wants to talk about are the organizations that, you know, he thinks are worthy of the help that he gives all the time, including Misericordia. When did you first get tied into Misericordia?
Many years ago.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
As a company, or did you have a personal tie?
Personal. Just friends.
Okay. And along with Ms. Ricordia, we just had the Italian Sports Hall of Fame golf outing. That's a big deal for you, too, isn't it?
Very much so. It was a great event. We had many celebrities there.
Yeah, what was the dinner I missed? Who'd you go out to dinner with?
Quite a few people. Ferragamo.
Remember Vince Ferragamo?
Yeah, that's right? A great name.
Pastorini.
Dan Pastorini, yeah. Baby. A bunch of nice Italian boys.
You're right.
Cobblestone Development is one of the longest serving, most successful rehab companies in Chicago, and you just redid my family room and my kitchen. I couldn't be happier. You guys just did great work.
First of all, thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to work on your house. It was a pleasure working with Maureen. She knew what she wanted.
She's great. Yeah, I mean, you had to put up with me, but she did a nice job.
We maintained constant communication on a daily basis. Right. The project went real well.
Flawless. Absolutely flawless.
Thank you.
The remodeling business, how is it now? Better than before? Great?
Much better. Everybody's pretty busy, and it's real hard to get good people today.
So how does that work? Because you have a number of crews you work with regularly who specialize in whatever you need?
Correct.
Rotate them in, rotate them out?
True.
One of the things you did for me, which is great, was the creativity side where you have people that go, here's an idea you ought to think about, but you don't try to force it on somebody. You go, here's what I think it would look good in your house.
True. We come up with some ideas, but we let the final decision, it's up to the customer.
You practice on your own house? You put stuff in your own house, see how it looks for it? Not so much. Get in trouble at home?
I built my house 21 years ago. It's fairly new. So
there you go. Cobblestone Development it's just a wonderful company. Can't recommend it more highly. Anyway, stick around, Bill. We'll talk more in a second.
Thank you.
More with Bill Conforti coming up. And again, he was nice enough to donate some money to Ms. Ricordia. Now he's hanging out on the show seeing our fabulous new studios. Let's take a quick break. Come back with your headlines in just a second. And Steve Dale's got something he needs to plug. What's going on? Is there a critter involved? There must be if Steve Dale's coming in on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
9:46, talking to my friend Bill Conforti. Bill bid the most at Ms. Ricordia at one of their fundraising auctions recently. We're just talking off the air. When did you start advertising with the old Siding One Windows One company? Was that with Wally?
Correct. Many years ago.
Yeah.
When Wally and Lou were on.
So that's Wally, Collins, Spike, the Dark Ages, and me.
Right.
Nice run.
I love WGN. Great station. Well, it's been very good to me.
Good partners.
Oh, yeah. Awesome partners.
Again, it's cobblestonedevelopment.com. Couldn't recommend it more highly. Seated to your left is a very famous young man. Miles Kaufman is back. Miles, I'm going to turn your microphone on. Sorry, Miles.
It's fine.
Miles was, you hear that? You hear he's a little frustrated with me?
He's already fine. It's fine. You know what?
I realize who I'm working with.
I need some support, Steve.
So you're just telling me a funny story off the air that Miles what now?
Well, we went to Blackhawks games over the winter time, and Miles's teacher, his fifth grade teacher, was a big Blackhawks fan, and Miles lorded over her that he was going to games because there were a couple times we were in the skybox there, you know, in the suites, and he'd be like, "I'm going to the suites this weekend, and maybe I can get a ticket for you." Like he would essentially say, "Let me check with my mom and dad, and see if we can get you a ticket." Like he was a little broker. And
what were you getting in exchange for that, Miles?
Huh?
What were you getting in exchange for that? Just the good feeling of helping another human.
Well, in fact,
yes.
I thought, since we had, like, a point system, I thought, like,
this would get you better points?
Yes.
Oh, well, it didn't.
Well, working at angles.
We went in for, like, the teacher parent-teacher conference, and the first thing she said, great teacher, by the way, but first thing she said, she goes, "I just want to make it clear, I don't want to go with you to the Blackhawks." And I was like, what is this? And I was out of the loop.
Can you imagine how nervous she was thinking that you and your wife were going, what is with this teacher trying to horn in on a game? So, she your favorite teacher?
What?
She one of your favorite teachers?
Yes. She's my second favorite teacher.
What class is that?
Your second favorite teacher. Right. For this case, you could say favorite teacher.
No, she's my second favorite.
Okay.
Who's your favorite teacher?
Great teacher.
Miss Ferrara, now Miss Wiper.
And what does Miss Wiper teach?
Miss Wiper just teaches...
Third grade?
Yes, she teaches third grade.
Yeah, so your third grade teacher you had fondness for.
Yes.
Who was your favorite
but
teacher?
But Miss Jogman in fifth grade was tremendous.
Yes,
she was a tremendous teacher.
Except for that part where she kept asking you for black on stage.
Except it was the only weird part.
That was a weird thing. Who was your favorite teacher?
You know, someone just reached out. Mary Vandervelt just said that somebody reached out saying that their mother-in-law was a teacher at Harrison School in Wonder Lake where I went when first to eighth grade and that she remembers me.
That's nice.
Yeah, so other than that, I mean... I don't know that.
I think I'd have to go with Mrs. Broadwell, my English teacher in high school, as one of the tops. Mrs. Trevitz, my second grade teacher, was strong.
Oh.
Mrs. Wing and Mrs. Butler, first and third grade, also strong.
I remember I had a thorn wall. It was good. That's just all I can remember.
Dave, your favorite teacher brought up in D.C.?
My fifth grade teacher, Mrs. Rich, she just passed away recently.
Oh, God bless.
Aww. Yes. But my third grade teacher was Miss Baranek.
I remember her.
Remember her?
Yeah. Bill Conforti, you want to tell us your favorite teacher?
Father Lettucey.
Yep. Good Catholic boy.
Yep.
St. Philip High School.
Yeah. All right, so Miles, can we plug his new project, or is it too early?
Yeah, no, it's online right now. It was just published. You're on the couch. Interview with Danielle Pinnock. You took our guest, who is one of the stars of Young Sheldon on CBS.
We had another segment we were going to do.
Yeah, at 8 o'clock, and she was done with the segment, and she was going home. And then I see a video that says, on the couch with Miles. Miles sat down and interviewed her.
Yes, like a little mini interview guy.
Yeah, social media.
It was good. It was good questions,
too. Kids all hang out. And is that posted now?
It's posted now. And I would say you knew her from the show, so that was an extra...
Well, you sort of look like young Sheldon.
He's a young Sheldon.
Doesn't he look like young Sheldon? He looks a little like young Sheldon.
Uh-huh.
Play along.
Yeah.
He looks a lot like young Sheldon, doesn't he?
He looked just like young Sheldon.
I don't think so. But.
You know what Danielle was telling us is that he actually, the young Sheldon, is a five-tool player, and he had done stuff already in theater and Broadway and stuff like that before he came to Young Sheldon.
How about that?
Like what?
Singing, dancing?
You look it up, but I'm just saying that he's already in the theater before he got to television.
Have you done any plays?
Yes, I have. School plays.
What would you do? Do you remember?
Yes. I did Grease.
Oh, yeah.
He was Danny Zuko.
Yeah.
You were the... You were the lead?
Do you remember the Bed of Shape Up? Do you remember that stuff?
Yes, I do.
You're probably not going to do it for us right now.
No.
All right.
I can do something else. I am in Glee Club.
Yeah, what do you do for Glee Club?
We do a bunch of songs from Broadway, or one song from Broadway, but you get the point.
What's your favorite?
My favorite is Waving Through a Window.
Yeah, Dear Evan Hansen. Yeah. And you also do Bohemian Rhapsody, which is crazy.
Yes, we also did Bohemian Rhapsody.
Miles does Bohemian Rhapsody. He knows all... He knows all the words. I am 43 years old. I don't know the words.
Most
I'm just a little
words.
Silhouette of a man.
Close.
All right, pick it up. Let me hear it, Big Day.
Okay. I'll sing the part that you were going to sing, but I'll extend it to the end of that section.
Go ahead.
All right, go for it. Bohemian Rhapsody, Miles Kaufman.
Ahem. Bum, 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 bum. I see a little silhouette of a man. Scaramouche, will you do the fandango? Thunderbolt and lightning, very, very frightening me. Galileo, 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 Figaro, Magnifico. I'm just a poor boy, nobody loves me. He's just a poor boy, a poor family.
Nice! Yeah. Yeah, nice. That's it. With no warm-up whatsoever.
That's pretty good.
Dude, high five.
Air
Close
high
enough.
Five.
Thank you. Miles, on the couch with Miles, now available. Yes. Social media.
Miles is here because we are... There's like I had to bring kid to work day today because camp doesn't start till Monday. School ended on Tuesday.
Either that or it's bring your parent to work day.
He got up at 4:30 today with me.
It was nice. It was bright.
Yeah, and he's going to crash.
I turned the lights on.
The bathroom was bright.
He's going to crash and start drooling on himself at about 11:15.
Yeah.
All right, Miles, thanks for doing the show. We'll come back with
Bill
and Wendy in a moment on 720 WGN.
Okay, bye-bye.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I'm a lot like Miles.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm working towards Miles. Yeah, a lot like him.
Someday you could be Miles.
Someday.
You could be Justin's son?
Yeah. No, I mean, Miles, you know, in a show business sort of way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Steve Dale joins us. What are you up to?
Well, I am getting ready for July 4th. I'm doing it at Blum Animal Hospital in Chicago, the first free, fear-free veterinary clinic in Chicago. They're located in Lakeview. You know, so many dogs are just terrified of fireworks.
Right.
Yeah. And I'll be doing a Facebook Live at 1 o'clock to talk about how to better prepare our dogs. And there are some things that we can do.
All right. So what about a parade, since it's the 4th of July? Big old dog parade.
I think there ought to be. But more importantly, we have to get our pets ready for all those fireworks I'm talking about. And they begin really soon. And you could start now by desensitizing your dog to those loud booms using pheromone products like Adaptil to calm your dog. That's available at PetSmart, as well as most veterinary clinics, for sure. The point is that we can do something about it. Our dogs don't have to be terrified. I mean, some dogs, I mean, for all dogs, it's adaptive. You hear a loud noise right in back of you, an unexplained sound, you run, you duck. And our dogs are doing the same thing because no one can explain to our dogs what these sounds are all about.
1 o'clock today, Facebook Live with Steve Dale. He will get you in the mood for the 4th of July, he and his little schnauzer friends. Right. Bill and Wendy, when we come back, and a couple more minutes of Bill Conforti before we leave on 720 WGN. Time flies when you're having a good time. My friend Bill Conforti is at cobblestonedevelopment.com. Thanks for the Ms. Recordia help. I know you've been doing that for them and with them forever, but I appreciate it.
It's been my pleasure, Steve. A great organization.
And Manfredini's all over that, too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, he's there all the time.
Bill works all weekend, unlike his friend Steve. Were you running around doing jobs today?
I'm going to be in the office most of the day today.
All right, so if I need you, I can call?
You could definitely call. Can I give you the phone number?
Hey, what is the phone number at the office?
773-661-0606.
Yeah, and it's cobblestonedevelopment.com. You still doing that thing? If somebody mentions my name, you'll give them a deal?
Oh, definitely.
20% off.
20% off.
That's a big number.
Wow. Yeah.
About that. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you so much for the invitation.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Bill and Wendy are here. What are you guys doing?
We are going to build an ark. That's what we're going to do today.
It's enough rain. We've had enough.
Yeah.
It's enough rain. You want your mic
on? Grass looks really good, though. Doesn't your grass look super good?
Yeah, we had a family of ducks that were living in our backyard, and because there's an area where water collects, there's no pond anywhere nearby, but the ducks were water-fooled. They're waterfowl, and they were water-fooled. And there was a mommy duck and a daddy duck and a couple of baby ducks. So it was kind of cool.
That's cool. Why a duck?
Yeah, but then the ducks have left.
Oh.
They're out.
I think they've left.
Oh.
We have, you know, we have coyotes.
Yeah. Ducks and coyotes, friends or enemies?
Yeah. The story got less
not
cute.
Not so much.
No?
Not like, so much.
Oh, ducks, coyotes, oh.
Because in cartoons, animals of different breeds, they pal around together.
Oh, you're thinking of Wile E. Wile E.
Not Wile E.
Yeah. By the way, your son knocked it out of the car, right?
He kills me.
Wow. That was impressive.
I just wish he had some self-confidence.
That's what's lacking.
As I told Steve, I mean, thank you for that, and it's awesome, but let's check in 10 years when he's on the couch playing video games. He's like, I don't want to do anything. And I'll be like, what happened to that kid who was open and saying on the radio?
Okay, in 10 years, he's going to be 20. If he's on your couch playing video games, you got other issues.
The only thing I told him is I said, if you want to go into showbiz or anything like that, you have to have dad as a roommate.
Oh.
Like, if he's going to go be on Broadway in Manhattan, I'm going with.
Yeah, that
I'm
makes sense.
In my 20s.
Sure.
Right.
That's
sure.
Not normal.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Sorry, but no.
I'm taking it, though. I'm taking it. He's my ride. Pause. He's my ride.
Do you watch Arrested Development? I mean, come on. You can't room with your kid.
Normal.
We were just watching that last night. That's funny. Yeah.
Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend. See you Monday.